Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, after what was a very busy last week and volatile last week, as I think we always do, as all investors do, we need to turn our attention and look forward to what are going to be some of the next drivers behind market moves. No matter what sector we look at, it still seems like a lot of markets are trading hand in hand with each other, and a lot of expectations, or at least markets forward-looking nature, deal with what the Fed and other central banks are going to do. It was a wild volatility after last week's Fed meeting that then ended with the jobs report on Friday, which really seemed like everyone was waiting for Powell to be a bit more hawkish. He wasn't as hawkish. Markets did better. And then the jobs number came out. And then we've even heard from some Fed heads this week that, well, there probably will be more rate hikes. Who knows if there are going to be any rate cuts? The market was predicting some rate cuts by the end of the year, but that's so far off, it's hard to know what's going to happen. Ed, in your eyes, as investors, what should we all be looking for in the near term, in the next few months, that will drive markets, that will potentially give us a bit more clarity on a solid direction for markets?
I think the focus for the Fed will remain with inflation. And I think that what we're going to see with the upcoming Valentine's Day inflation report is that pricing pressures are creeping back. You know, I think there's expectations that both the headline and core month over month readings are going to post significant gains. And I think that's going to be quite a change from the last couple of reports, which were coming in cooler than expected. So I think, you know, the Fed is, they're pretty much signaling they're going to deliver another rate hike in March. And where the market was unsure, they were pricing in maybe one more and done. But I think that after a hot, you know, after this hot labor market report, which will keep wage pressures going for quite some time, and if we do get that hotter than expected or in line inflation report next week, you're going to start to see more traders price in more Fed tightening. And I think the potential of taking rates to 5.5 or even 5.75 could become the base case scenario. As people, I think, were so confident over the, you know, prior 2 weeks to the Fed decision that the economy is weakening, that inflation's starting to come down, that the Fed has done enough and taking rates to what was thought, you know, restrictive enough territory. And now I think you're going to see that, you know, we're still well above, you know, more than twice their target. There's still a lot more work that needs to be done. And I'm not convinced that, you know, the moves with inflation are not going to be linear. But I think you're going to see that there's risks that, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to come down over these next couple of reports. And I think that will, you know, fuel the hawks. And I think you're going to see more big wagers. You know, the Fed could do a lot more tightening. And that's something the market's not pricing in. I think everyone was so focused on when will they cut, but they kind of, you know, have to remind themselves that the Fed could still do not just two more rate hikes. There's still, you know, I think there's still a, you know, you can make a strong argument that they, you know, we could still see another 75 or a full point in rate hikes. So this, you know, we're far from mission accomplished with bringing inflation down. And there's other reasons to anticipate that we could see some inflation percolate here. So this is, you know, this is going to mean much more volatility in the bond market. And I think equities are going to be vulnerable here. I think, you know, you're seeing earnings risk. I think risk of higher bond yields is going to remain on the table, and no, I think this is going to be a market that these expectations on what the Fed will do are going to, you know, I think swing violently, and you know, traders should be prepared for that volatility.
Yeah, Ed, who knows, right? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with the inflation number when we get the Valentine's Day reading, whether we're going to get a love letter from Cupid that, hey, inflation is still percolating lower, or if we're going to get harpooned with Cupid's arrow and say, hey, inflation's back up again. But what do you think it would mean to the markets if the Fed did have to hike longer, because they have been messaging that they have a lagging factor to their policy, that it may take 6 months to 12 months before they finally see whether this is getting any traction in the market. So it's not an immediate response. Everybody was anticipating the pause from Powell and the team at the Fed. But if they continue to hike even further past the March meeting into May and June, or if they pause and then hike again later, wouldn't that knock some of the steam out of the rally we've seen in the general markets over the last few months?
I think, you know, the rally that we've seen needs to get knocked down to conquer inflation. I think, you know, the worst case scenario for risky assets over the long term is if we don't get inflation right earlier. And I think that, you know, the risk of Fed, you know, let's say they did two more rate hikes, two more quarter point rises, and then they pause, and then, you know, summertime comes and it's like, oh boy, maybe policy was not restrictive enough. Financial conditions have been loosening a lot since we saw the peak in yields. So since October, financial conditions have been loosening. And this is going to really, I think, complicate what the Fed does. So then are you hiking, you know, are you going to have to be a little bit aggressive, you know, deliver a half point rate increase then? If let's say they paused at the June meeting and maybe they paused again in July and then September comes, you know, I think that would be the worst case scenario, because then you're going to really, you know, have a messy growth outlook. I think, you know, the best case scenario for, you know, long-term, you know, bull cases for equities would be to get policy quickly to restrictive territory. You know, they should have hiked by half point, but now they need to signal that they're going to remain aggressive with this, you know, rate hiking cycle, especially if we get a hot inflation report. I think there's still a lot more work that needs to be done. And I think everyone was anticipating a lot more weakness because of, you know, those 8 hikes that they've already delivered. This is going to be something that the Fed is going to debate. But I think there's just too much strength in the economy. And with that, that will complicate. That's going to make it harder for inflation to come down. So we'll see what happens. But I think that Chair Powell missed an opportunity. He should have pushed back a little bit more. Now, obviously, you know, an inflation report will, you know, do his job, but I think it would have been better for risk appetite. We probably need to see, I think, a lot of this move higher in equities. You know, we probably need to see the S&P 500 break below 4,000 again, and things are going to, I think, possibly warrant that. So it all depends on inflation. So, you know, obviously, if we do get that, you know, Cupid surprise, as you highlighted, and it's not as hot as I'm touting it could be, then, you know, I think traders are still going to, you know, they're starting to put, you know, some money that the Fed could do more hiking. But right now, there's still a good part of Wall Street that's convinced that next winter, wow, we're getting rate cuts. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, a year ago, inflation or Fed rate hike expectations were nowhere near they are, you know, throughout this current tightening cycle. So there's going to be more volatility ahead.
So, Ed, tying it into the markets, we had a breakdown in almost every market, every sector in October, early on October, just generally in October there. And then markets have rebounded. Commodities have rebounded. Precious metals have rebounded. The NASDAQ, S&P, everything has rebounded. And now we're kind of, it almost feels like in this no man's land. The U.S. markets have consistently put in lower highs, but the S&P, if it makes a little push from here, could actually take out one of the lower highs from back in August. Do you think broadly that breakdown in October, which some have classified as a false breakdown, do you think those are the true lows, let's say at least for this year?
I think, you know, the market, you know, was so pessimistic to start the year. There was, you know, we're recession bound, economy's weakening, we're probably going to have a very rough earnings season. I think, you know, Wall Street was behind on pricing, you know, down, you know, slashing these earnings forecasts. And the mood was so pessimistic. And then there was a short covering rebound. And then you had a China reopening. And there was so many things that went in favor of, you know, just jumping back into risky assets. And now I think you're right that, it you know, where we are no man's land right now. I think there is I would say there's a, I would be surprised if we were really able to extend much higher, given the current environment, given the current setup that we're seeing with the economy. I think there's been, this earnings season was rather impressive. There has been so much that has highlighted, you know, there's still strength in the service sector. The consumer is still, I mean, even take a look at Uber's out. Look, they were, you know, fairly upbeat on the consumer. And I think that you're seeing, you know, a lot of companies, cost-cutting measures, you know, delivering buybacks. And you know, there's a lot of good momentum here. And then you also have the political side of things where, you know, you're not going to get more taxes. You're not going to get any harsh penalties on buybacks because the Republicans took over the House. So a lot of that risk was removed also. So I think you're seeing a market here that is probably, you know, I think this rebound has overextended itself, but we'll see if disinflation trends continue to win out. We can obviously push higher. But I, looking at some of the you know, the key moves we've seen with prices, I think there's with energy prices, and I think just the strength of the consumer has been able to tolerate, you know, inflation, you know, as of now. So I don't anticipate that, you know, disinflation trends will remain firmly entrenched here.
Well, Ed, one more market we'd love to get your thoughts on, because I know you follow the space closely, and that's the cryptoverse. It's also rallied along with the markets. Some would argue that it's rallied along with tech stocks again, starting at that October low that Corey highlighted and really rallying higher the last few months. We've seen Bitcoin up around 23,000 again. Ethereum's been in the 1600s and 1700s. There's been a lot of positive momentum in the space. Is that just a direct correlation to the tech and growth stocks also rallying? Or is there something else going on with the cryptos coming out of some of the crypto exchange fallout?
I think, you know, you had the doomsday scenarios play out. You had the FTX collapse. There was the risk that, you know, legislation was going to be crippling and really disrupt long-term growth potential here. And that didn't happen. Contagion risks, that's still going to unfold over the next several months. I think there's still going to be a lot of pain for a lot of crypto companies. These borrowing costs are just too high. And with not the anticipated revenue flows, you're going to see more companies merge or unfortunately go out of business. But I think the space, you know, we were nearing the end of a very dark period for crypto. And I think everyone was anticipating, well, we're going to retest those lows, just like everyone was thinking stocks were going to retest those October lows. That didn't happen. The move in treasury yields kind of opened the door for, you know, the rebound in cryptos. And I mean, they, you know, it's been a great year for Bitcoin, Ethereum. They're both up over 38%. And some of these other altcoins like Solana, they're up over 100, almost 140%. So you've seen some, you know, explosive moves, which, you know, are, you know, attracting, you know, some interest here. But, you know, it's still depressed. You're not seeing the same institutional or retail buzz just yet. But I think, you know, because all these bearish bets, people were anticipating, well, I'll dabble a little bit more in crypto if we, you know, fall to 14,000, 10,000, or some even much lower levels. That never happened. And then I think, you know, crypto is going to be a market that, you know, this year is going to be heavily, I think, focused with legislation, regulation, and, you know, there's more countries that are, you know, turning a little bit more constructive, and there'll be more guidelines for crypto companies to operate, but it's still a, you know, it's still a mess right now. And, but I think that, it's still kind of like your leveraged risky asset here. And, you know, the volatility seems like it's, to the upside, it could outperform equities because it doesn't have to deal with a lot of that earnings risk. And because it's already been beaten up so badly over the past year.
Well, Ed, we'll wrap it up here. Boy, oh boy, it's a confusing market. Last year, we knew that rate hikes were coming. No one actually thought that the Fed would get this far along with rate hikes without truly breaking something, but then we hear that there's a lagging effect of these rate hikes. But then markets are forward-looking, and they have been maybe a little more bullish than they should be. It's such an interesting time, especially after getting a Fed meeting and then having to wait another 6 weeks for the next Fed meeting and digest all the data and news that's going to come out. We'll keep on chatting with you, Ed, on a weekly basis. I look forward to chatting with you next week. Thanks for your insights this week.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.